Meeting of the Sevier School District Board of Education. We are meeting at the Sevier School District office on Wednesday, December 11th, 2024. In attendance, we have board members Rick Orr, Dixie Rasmussen, Vice President Ryan Savage, Jack Hansen is asked to be excused, and myself, John Foster. The administration, we have Superintendent Dr. Cade Douglas, Assistant Superintendent Mike Willis, Business Administrator Chad Lloyd, and Executive Secretary Krista Nielsen. We'll begin with our preliminary offered by Board Member Rick Orr.
Our Father in Heaven, as we bow our heads before Thee this day in capacity of this school board meeting, we wish to thank Thee for all the blessings that Thou bestows upon us. We wish to thank Thee for the leadership and guidance of those who sit in this room. We're so thankful for the superintendent and his assistants that do so much work for the children in this district. We're so thankful also for the wonderful teachers and aides and bus drivers and all of the people who work for the district and for their loving concern for the children. We're especially thankful for those kids. And we would ask that Thy Spirit would abide with them, that they may be guided in the right direction, that they may be kept from harm. We're so thankful for education. Help us to work together to make decisions that are best for those children in our keep. Again, we ask Thy special Spirit to be with us as we go throughout this meeting, and we do so in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If you follow me in the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to welcome Principal Bigley with us today. We'll be hearing from him a little bit later. First item of business on our agenda is the consent agenda. Are there any comments or questions or discussion about our consent agenda?
I just want to make one quick comment. With policy, we've been working our staff on over 30 policy adjustments due to the legislative session, which I'm sharing that with legislators. We have a kind of a campaign where we're saying, please push pause, slow down. We've spent hours upon hours analyzing our policies, creating new policies. So just kind of a warning to the board, you'll be seeing those in likely January and February. We're talking over 30 policies. Not all of them are all new. Some of them are just adjustments, but they are a direct. They're tied directly to new law that was just passed this legislative session and the prior session. So enjoy your day-to-day reviewing one policy, because it's going to be the biggest agenda you've ever seen in January and February, lots of new policies. And I hope that changes. I hope it does.
Anyone else? I would like to acknowledge our student recognition that we had North Sevier High School senior Swayze Mason, who received the Deseret News 2A Volleyball Player of the Year Award. And also from South Sevier High School, senior Gunnar Sorensen received the Deseret News 2A Golf Medalist Honors Award. And we'll be sending out a letter of congratulations to the players and their coaches. Any other comments or questions or discussion on our consent agenda? If not, I would entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I make that motion.
I'll second it, President.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next up, we'll be pleased to have a report from South Sevier High School Principal Brett Beebley. Tell us what's happening at South Sevier.
Well, yeah, that's the one I was looking for, Chad. Thanks. So, I'm happy to be here. Board President John Foster, appreciate you and all you do, Superintendent Douglas and board members. It's I've got to say, it's refreshing to walk into a room where there's people with as much experience as I have. So very often I walk into a room and I'm not the oldest person there, so it's nice to be in here with you. I find that just a little bit comforting. So, but let's go to that first one, Chad, for just a minute, if you would. Yes, so if you look at that, if you haven't been to our school in just a little while, and I don't know if you can see in there, but we've done some zero landscaping, we've got a new parking lot, we've got a new marquee, we've just had some things go on over there if you haven't been there in a while, please come see me, and let's go in there and walk around and have a look. Next one's fine, Chad. There's our demographics, and you've all had a chance to look at this, and so I know you've looked at that. We use our SOAR report to look at those demographics with our enrollment of 426, just a tad more than what we expected. Our assessment results, the next slide, you can see that's our 24 stuff from last spring, and we're always working towards improvement in all academic areas, and you can see that we're just a little bit below the average for Utah, and I'll share with you what we're working on to improve those scores here just a little bit further into my program here. There's our mission statement. I'd like to read that to you if I could. To prepare our students with individualized opportunities and pathways in an atmosphere in which all members of a safe, diverse, and engaged small school community appreciate and strive for excellence. That word pathways there, that's a big deal at our school, and we'll talk about that just like I say, just a little bit more. There's our one of our shop classes, which we don't have right now because we're working on our shop. But our pathway completers, that's something that we changed with our what we're doing at our high school here in the last handful of years. So if you take state at our school in a sport, the next Monday, usually, we use our RAM time, and we fill the auditorium with students, teachers, staff members, any stakeholders that want to show up. And we play We Are the Champions, and then those teams walk in and they get the state championship trophy and they present that to the student body. Well, for pathways, we do the same thing. If you're a pathway completer, that's hard to do. It takes an effort. We don't just give those away. And so we do the same thing. We have an assembly, pull everybody together, we advertise that in all the means that we can, and we recognize those students. So that's kind of a fun thing that we do. Our school improvement plan is the same as our mission statement. It's just that we in an attempt to increase our math scores on the ACT test, we've created intervention math 1 and 2 classes, and that's reduced class sizes. And as we try to prepare students for Math 3 and the ACT test. And the kids now, that intervention has been in place. Now this is the third year. And so the kids that will take the ACT test this year, we're kind of looking for an improvement in those scores. So kind of an exciting year for us as far as that goes. You can see there that what we use for our assessment data to make our decisions on, we analyze the ACT and Aspire tests. We develop Tier 2 interventions during class time and kid talk. I'll talk a little bit more about that. We provide classes that help students prepare. We double block math, concurrent enrollment, CTE, study hall, credit recovery. But kid talk, and I'm not sure if that's something that you're familiar with, but if you are, I'm sorry, but if not, I'll teach you a little bit about that. So kid talk is something that we do every faculty meeting. We divide up into grade level teams, our 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th, and 12th. And then we have a team leader, and they pull up all of the freshmen, for example. And then we have a conversation with all of the freshman teachers about what might be going on in that student's life, at-risk kids, whether it's maybe we're aware of there's maybe a divorce in the family, a split family, maybe there's just any kind of trauma that they might be experiencing and that one teacher might know that the others might not know. And so as a team, then we're aware of what that student might be experiencing, and that's been really a pretty successful thing in our building. And our teachers, in the beginning I thought that was going to be a rough sell at faculty meetings, and then we meet again 2 weeks later. And so it's every 2 weeks we get together, and not at all. They just, everybody jumped in. It's been a huge success. It's awesome. So next one, Chad, if you would, interventions. That's what we do for all the interventions that we have with our Math 1 and 2. Our advisory class, which we do on Mondays. RAM time, ACT practice tests. Edgenuity is our credit recovery that we have. We just feel like if kids started our school, we want them to end at our school. And so we have our credit recovery in-house and try to service the kids that need help that way. So, and then our Aspire testing. So Aspire, and I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that's what we test all of our freshmen and sophomores. And our instructional coaches at the three high schools got together last year and said, hey, let's make this a little bit competitive. So, Chad, if you'll go to that next one. So that's... South Sugar High School, we scored the highest between the three high schools and on the Aspire test. And so RHS and NHS, North Sugar High School, sent their assistant principals over. And they put on our gear, so those are our T-shirts. And then they presented that trophy right there that's going to be a traveling trophy. And so they presented that to us at an assembly. And so that was kind of fun. Kids thought, but now that seed's planted. For that competition, they remember that, and so we're hoping to build on that. And I did notice, if you go back there just a second, Chad, I did notice that right there Travis is doing his little wolf thing, and so we'll deal with that accordingly. This is important of one of the two or three important, most important ones on here. If you look at, I don't know if my pointer's going to work, if you look at that, can you blow that up at all, Chad? If you look at that second green one down, and if you look at the category that says percentage of students with an F, can you see that? It's to the right just a little bit. Percentage of students with an F. That's the semester of the first semester of 23, second semester of 23, and then the first semester and second semester of 24. If you'll see South Sevier High School on that first one, we're at 11%. Comparatively speaking, we're doing a pretty good job. If you'll just slide that over just a little bit to the right. Chad, that same green one there, we're at 13% with 14 and 22. If you go down then now to the first semester on 24, bottom left, the percentage there is 10%. And our goal was to get to single digits. And if you look at when school got out last year, we're at 7%. And honestly, I'm really proud of that. And I wanted to read kind of what I've prepared for this, what I've talked to our teachers about. And so our failing grades have decreased since 2016, and superintendent has that data for you. I just included these 2 years. We believe this is due to standards-based grading, hiring the best teachers that we can find, and using trust funds money to hire an office aide to help track students. F reduction is a mindset. Teachers ask themselves, have I really done everything possible to allow the student to prove mastery in my class? I'm so proud of the way that our staff has responded to our efforts to help students to be successful. F reduction is more than what it appears on the surface. We just don't give grades to students. If a student's falling behind, we intervene. If a student misses a test for some reason, we intervene. We have discussions with kids and parents to see if we can help. We're proactive. We're willing to allow test retakes after proof of new learning. We're willing to stay late or come early to meet the needs of the students. We care about students and allow them all of the opportunities that we can to prove mastery. And I think that's where it's at. I think that's where it's at. Once the kids believe that, you're not just saying it and you meet them early or you stay late or you do whatever it takes, it creates that relationship, and then that has quite an impact on culture as far as I'm concerned. So.
Well, one thing I'm going to get it off, jump right in, but one thing that the board needs to know, and Mr. Beagley leads that by example. He spends hours and hours of his time meeting with those students individually and communicating with them, showing his love and concern that failure is not an option, that he wants them to succeed. And it, I think it helps the student. They have an advocate. They know Mr. Beasley, but then his staff, it carries that feeling at that school. And I'm so proud of those numbers. To be down to 27 and 49 and even lower, that took so much heavy lifting and work. And it's a culture. I love how you said it. It's a way of being, a way of thinking. And that way of being and way of thinking has arrived at South Center High School. There's always things to work on. But it's there. You can feel it. And it's just awesome. That's a lot of hard work.
Well, it's you say hard work, and I think it's a lot of time spent, but it's the people that are in the building. You can work all day long, and if the people aren't where you want them to be, and they don't have the right mindset, and aren't looking for the same things that you are, can be a challenge. But our folks they're ready for it. And I think it carries right into what Myron was teaching with standards based grading. And thanks for that, Superintendent. I appreciate that. He's teaching our students, or Myron was. He spent some time in our building the last couple of years, and he's done some amazing things to help teachers look at grading in a different way, to allow students to prove mastery in different ways, whether it's verbally with a project, maybe take a written test, or even a verbal test, or even just a conversation with the teacher to prove that they have that knowledge. And he's taught us how to use that in our grading and how students can show mastery. So. Next one, there you go. And so in our professional development, our strategic ACT and professional development, you can see what we do there. And I wanted to say a little bit about Jimmy Costas, and those are the two books, and you guys have heard that name quite a bit, I'm sure. But Jimmy's philosophy of building positive culture goes hand in hand with standards-based grading. And then in my mind, that goes hand in hand with culture, with the F reports and all those kind of things, but Jimmy, having him in our buildings was the single most important learning experience for me in my career. Building relationships and being taught how to build those relationships really has changed me forever. It's all about communication and relationships, and that's what that's the road or the rabbit hole that our group, our teachers, our staff are going down. It's really kind of a neat thing. These are the things that we help with our freshmen to transition from middle school to high school. And you can see, though, the vertical alignment and cone meetings that we have with middle school and high school have been awesome. That's so helpful when it comes to register kids for just what maybe a couple of kids to put in the same class and maybe a couple of kids to not put in the same class. You know, those kind of things are just so helpful. And I added on my copy and not on that one that... the new students and parents, it helps to prepare them before school begins is our orientation. But also sharing a counselor is something that I'm not sure that the rest of the junior highs and high schools do, or middle schools. But Paul McCormick spends two mornings, 8 to noon, in our building, and then he spends all the rest of the time at the middle school. So when those kids come in, he knows them. He's built that relationship. It's just so good. When we have our SST meetings on Monday, he has so much information to share for the freshmen that we don't quite know yet. And so that's a big piece of just not just the culture, but just understanding the kids and maybe challenges that they have and successes that they have that he's already experienced. So that's been a good thing. This is our trust lands and our TSSA and what we're spending that for. When students enroll, and I think I mentioned this, when they enroll at South Street, we want them to graduate there. So our credit recovery with Edgenuity is a great way to do that. And then our IVC classes, which is our EdNet. That's our interactive video classes, our EdNet. Not sure why that one didn't transfer over very good. Sorry about that. But there are so many good things that Trustlands helps us with. And extra teachers. We lose a teacher. We lose a whole program in the school our size. And so that support that we get from Trustlands is just we couldn't do without it. We wouldn't have the programs that we have without it. So And then our professional learning community, you guys have heard a lot about that, I'm quite sure. Something that I think is unique to our school, and the superintendent might know more than me, I'm not in the other buildings, but we were able to build our schedule so our math teachers have the same prep on A days. So Monday, Wednesdays, they have the same prep. So and then our language arts teachers do the same thing. Theirs is fifth period. And so, yes, we have scheduled PLC meetings, but we have collaboration that goes on all day long in those, because they all have the same prep. So they can sit down and talk about test scores, and they can talk about kids, and they can talk about curriculum and all those things, because they all have a prep at the same time. And so that's been, I can't stress how important that's been in our building. And it has to be just right. If the numbers are too big, it's rough to do. And if the numbers are too small, it's hard to do, but we're right in that sweet spot. So math and language arts have common prep, so they can work together. So that's been a good deal for us. And then Observer tab lets us gives us the opportunity to sit down with teachers, with secretaries once a year to with our observations, feedback. It creates a great conversation and helps us kind of keep an eye on what's going on in the classes and let them share the successes that we're not there. We're not there every day, right? And so things that are going on gives them a chance to, hey, you should have been here the other day and tell us a little bit about something. So that's a really good thing, Observer tab. But the next one's our physical safety. You guys know all about Safe UT. Our staff supervision, we have a lot of staff at everything that we do. But one thing that we have that has really turned out to be a good thing is right there, the very first one, Officer Greg Northrup. So Greg is our resource officer, and he also is our assistant cheer coach. Both of his boys got scholarships to cheer at Southern Utah 2 years ago. So he's our assistant cheer coach. He has experience with that. He's also our head soccer coach. So he's in our building, and the kids know him, and they trust him. And when there's something that comes up, they go right to him. They don't go away from him. Back in my day, he stayed away from the resource officer. That's not the case. He knows a lot of the kids, and it's just been a good thing for us. Our emotional safety, all of those things that we do. One more slide ahead, if you would. There you go. Of course, we have an open door policy, and this is what Superintendent Douglas was alluding to, number two there. So something we're trying this year, we have never done, is me and Mr. Hepworth, we meet with every single senior. We call them in and say, hey, what are your plans? What are you doing? And in every case so far, and I've fallen behind with Christmas a little bit, but every case so far, we've been able to thank that student for behavior at a ball game, for helping with this, for looking out for this kid, for whatever. So we've been able to compliment them and thank them, but then we've also been able to say, hey, what are your plans? And what are you doing? And where are you going? And what are you, a kid's going to go help his brother open a business in Logan. And he's just, it's fun to hear them. I've never heard some of these kids even speak in the hallway. And you get them in the room and you ask them what they're interested in, and boy, it just goes. It's just really been an eye-opener for me. So it's been really a positive thing. And so Stuart and I have been able to do that. And then right down here, our student government that promotes activity. That's one of the papers that you've got there. Our student government motto, and I just want you to just kind of hang on to that and look through that. It's pretty awesome what they're trying to do, including everybody. And the other paper that you've got there is our HEART acronym, and that's with our mental health. And Janessa does that. So, and then the little cards that you've got, if a teacher notices a student doing something in a positive light, they fill that out. The student then brings that into Mr. Hepworth, our assistant principal. He then has them recite that HEART acronym that you've got there. And then it's hanging on his wall. It's not too tough of a test. But they recite that, and then he gives them something. So it's immediate. It's a candy bar or a bag of chips or a drink or, something along those lines. And then they get their name put in for the drawing when we have big drawings about quarterly that the kids are eligible for. But that's been a fun thing for him to build relationships with kids, because he's over attendance and helps with the discipline. And so that's been really good to build some relationships with. But I want you guys to have a copy of that you can kind of see everybody with student council, and everybody's kind of working in the same direction. So maybe the next one, Chad. So and this is where this probably, I jumped the gun a little bit, that's where Genesis, Mrs. Parsons stuff comes into play here with our the things that she's helping us with our Monday restorative services, our interventions. So we have our weekly meetings on Monday for that 20-minute block. And then what she's gearing those to and working with the products that she's working with is how to manage emotions and set and achieve goals, establish, maintain positive relationships, make responsible decisions, strengthen resilience, and improve communication. Those are what those lessons are geared around. Those are just good things, right? Just good common sense things to make kids positive members of the community. So that's what we're working for in that lane. And there's your HEART acronym. And it's also something that we use in our freshman transitions class. They use that, and so they have to memorize that and model what that is and some of those things. So that's been a good thing as well. Now, I don't know if we're up next year or the next for our accreditation review, but so this is by an independent review team, and this is what they gave to us when they reviewed us in late 21, so almost 22. So South Sulphur High School is also preparing students for the next level of education by implementing the guaranteed viable curriculum based on equitable, high expectations focused on college and career planning. Fostering a culture of support and individualized learning is a strength at South Sulphur High School. Students describe the atmosphere of the school as supportive, friendly, and like a big family. I can't, for what I'm pushing, not a better compliment. Like that's as good as it gets. And we can work on our test scores, but for me, that's what I'm after right there. I was really proud of our group for doing that. Artifacts, evidence, and observations related to the college and career readiness of the CCR program, counselor support, concurrent enrollment courses led to a high rating for embeddedness in this area. A futures thinking culture that is encouraged by all departments is reported by students, parents, and teachers alike. And that has a whole lot to do with our counselor. If you haven't met our counselor, you're missing out. Mrs. Lyman does an awesome job. She, as far as I'm concerned, she leads out in our district in a lot of areas, and that's a big part to her. A lot of construction going on. Some of you have seen it. Some of you haven't. Please come on over if you'd like to take a look. We're getting two new shops. The picture on the left, upper left, is the north side of our building, and so that's the new outside of the new wood shop and metal shop, and then those other two pictures are the insides of those, and that's going to be all completed by December 1st. Okay, not. That's what it was supposed to be. And at this point, I think we're hoping for February 1st. Is that what they told us the other day?
February 1st.
So it's gonna rumble into next year, you know what? The positives way outweigh the negatives, and the only negative is just the time it takes, but it's construction, and believe me, I know my way around that a little bit. So, and included in those instruction is all the HVAC. So we've never had HVAC in our shops. We've never had it in the areas that we're going to have it now. So that's going to be really good, really awesome. So, and this next one is kind of funny. So we have our health science class and our sports med class. Mrs. Robinson teaches those, and she wanted me to show these. So the one on the right, they're modeling fractures with carrots, is what they're doing. And then the one on the bottom left is the edible respiratory systems. Well, they just put it together with licorice and just all of the whole system that you can eat, right? And then that's the class presentations on what they want to go into in the health science department, that upper left one. And I could have filled 20 pages with stuff like that, but in the interest of time, I just didn't. You need to come over. You need to spend a little bit of time. You need to stop into our classes. You need to see what Superintendent was talking about and then feel that. There's just a lot of good things going on over there. And so I personally appreciate your support. I know you guys professionally and personally, and it's so easy to do my job knowing that we have people that have good intentions for kids backing us up. So thank you. Appreciate it.
Any questions or comments for Mr. Bigley? I'd just like to extend my appreciation for the great job that you do at that school, and thank you for your report.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm really tickled with what's going on over there, and
at South Sevier, and I'd like to thank you for, you know, the spirit that you've brought to South Sevier, too, and the good things that you're doing. I just wish you had some kind of a pill or something that you give the boys over there to give them more football field.
Yes, you and me both.
I want to thank Mr. B. Reedy. He does a tremendous job. Being a high school principal in a school that size is probably the most challenging job that exists in the world today. Honestly, it's super challenging, and it becomes very personal. You never have a day off, but you live it. He just does a tremendous job. It's great to work with in every aspect. It's a great school. It's exciting to see the changes, physical changes in the school, or trying to keep up with the emotional, academic changes at the school that are wonderful. So he's done a great, does and has done and continues to do a great job at that school. It's a good staff. He's good at hiring. Just can't say enough good. He's done great work.
Thank you.
I can add, I'd also like to say thank you to Brett. I work with Brett closely on a lot of situations, and he does have great staff, but more so I think comes from leadership, his leadership in that building. And when you walk in that school, you just feel it. It's a breath of fresh air sometimes walking into your school, so keep up the great work.
Much appreciated. Thanks. You need to come over more often then. Thank you. Next up, we have items from the board. Number one item is coming up, the USBA conference in Salt Lake at the Little America Hotel on January 9th and 11th. It's always a great opportunity to get some training and network with our colleagues. The second item listed there is... just like to thank and recognize our board members for their years of service. Jack Hansen, who's out today, 22 years of service. That's just amazing. Rick Orr, 14 years of service. Myself, 8. Ryan Savage, 6. And Dixie Rasmussen, 4 years of service. She's asked to have a few minutes to speak to the board, and so we'll ask her to do that right now.
This is my last board meeting, and I wanted to just thank each one of you for the not only the relationships, but also what I've learned in this past 4 years. I appreciate the friendships that's focused on student success and safety. Also dedication to teachers and to staff to be prepared to offer all of our students evidence-based learning. The rest of the staff also has been exemplified by the fine budget proposal that we did today with Chad and Carrie, and also our staff sweetheart, as far as I'm concerned, Krista, in collaborating and being that constant and that non-judgmental, just good hard work and foundation. I'm so thankful for the superintendent and for Mike and for your dedication and your passion, and not only that, but your focus. And I just have been so appreciative of watching and exemplifying just what you have taught me. I feel like I've accomplished 3 things. First of all, I've learned a lot. I love education. I revel in student success. I always want to just go to another class myself. I love to learn. And I have learned just life. Important life skills, and not only that, but I've learned about educational policies and procedures, and I've had a better understanding on how a school district works and just the complexities. Like, you know, as I looked at that budget, I thought you might as well have had Chinese up on there, just because my focus is a completely different focus. So I've learned a lot. I've asked a lot of questions. You know, that's the second thing I feel like I have accomplished, is to try and ask those questions. And sometimes I have asked questions that has put some kinks in some of the ways that things have already been run, but I felt like that those were important coming from an outsider and not having the experience within this organization to ask and question and somewhat agitate. And I feel like that's something that is a part of how I learn also. I feel like I've made some waves. I've not made a tsunami or did anything other than just respect and support everything that you've done. And I hope and pray that the challenges that come forward to the school district, that I know it's in great hands. I know that it will go forward. I forgot to say also, before I did that, is that I've also learned to love your wives and your partners. Mm-hmm. That those have just become a family to me also, and I've just really loved those relationships. Some of the challenges that I believe comes forward with the district, of course, is enacting the Dignity Index and making sure that, just like Principal Beagley talked about, and it was in the focus of when I finished my master's in education, was know their story. And I think whoever comes through our door, and that's something I try to do in my career, is to know their story. Whether it be somebody that's doing well or somebody that's not doing well at all. I also have a child that was that child that was the hardest that come through the doors of the school. And yet, I appreciated those that took time to know his story and still knows his story today. And that was one of the greatest impetus is to become a school board member, is to maybe be for the underdog and also the parents of the underdog. And that, I feel that our district does a great job for that. But to know their story and their understanding why they're acting and what they're doing. I'm just very excited for the ability to step back and have Jill Porter be a part of the board. Her expertise and experience will represent not only the whole district, but North Sevier area. And she's been at the front lines, in the back. She's been in the foundation. And I believe that she will have courage. I know that she'll have that strong advocacy in all realms, from administration down to the student, from coaching. I'm just really excited, and I feel just so excited for her to be on the board. And I love each one of you. I will miss you. We'll see each other here and there. I've experienced just a great opportunity, and I've experienced just something that I will never forget. And so thank you again.
Stay right there, Dixie. If you would, please. We have a little token of our appreciation.
Thank you.
Something special.
Oh, wow. I look so awful today. Like I really don't want to have a picture taken of myself.
This is a little something we'd like you to have.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you.
Wow,
that's beautiful.
Can I get a quick picture?
Thank you.
If I get that microphone kind of out of the way. There we go. One more. All right.
Thank you. Oh, that is beautiful. I will just honor that.
We very much appreciate your service. And,
thank you.
And great job you've done with
thank
us. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You get it okay.
Next up will be items from the administration. Superintendent, please.
Thank you.
Before I jump into my items, I just wanted to thank Chad, Carrie. Chad works really hard. He does such a great job. I've shared this many times with the board. He's just a strength to our district. He understands all aspects. I couldn't do my job without Chad's support. Carrie, they're wonderful. Also want to thank Mike. I couldn't do what I do every day without Mike. Nolan, Lisa, I shouldn't say names because they're all important, but Nolan, Lisa, Chet, all of our district personnel, Krista, the list goes on, but it's just such a great group of people. I was talking to a superintendent the other day, a dear friend of mine, and he has his years in. You know, he could retire at any time. He's a rancher. He has financial means, but he simply cannot leave the job because he loves the people he works with. He just can't do it. He can't walk away. He loves them so much. And he's a tough man. He's an old cowboy kind of a guy, and it was pretty touching for me to hear him say that, but I totally understand how he feels. It's the only family I've got. It's the people, you know, aside from my own family that I don't spend enough time with. I spend a lot of time with these people, and they're good. They're wonderful people. I wanted to thank Rick Orr for his prayer. You know, it's wonderful to live in a community like we do. It just means a lot to hear that. Yeah, so thank you. Legislative priorities. You can scroll down and show that. I really like where we landed as a school boards association. Remember, this is all 41 school boards, all 41 superintendents, all 41 business administrators. It's laid out very, very well. It talks about what we really, truly believe in. And that, first and foremost, is that every single student is important and valuable, that the health of our society depends on our public education system to really educate our citizenry. And it talks about that. And unfortunately, I feel like that's under attack. I was on a panel yesterday at the Snow College, and they asked that question: what's the greatest challenge that's facing public education? In my mind, it's the segregation, the lack of unity within public schools. In the name of parent choice, if we're not careful, we will lose the unity and benefit of what public education does, how it is the great equalizer. And I feel like this document represents that. Then it gets into what we need. The first bullet on there is an education working group. I'm going to actually be meeting with the President of the Senate, the Speaker of the House, next Tuesday, and I'm super excited to go meet with them and have these discussions with them. I know they listen, and I know I have a great relationship with them, but I don't know if they realize that moving towards the national politics as it relates to public education is good for Utah. It's not, and I'm going to tell them that again. I'm going to say, hey, we do things great in Utah. Come and see the schools. Utah public ed is different than what you're hearing on the national stage. And I just fear, because some of the decisions I see legislators making play into that national narrative, and in Utah that's not good, and it's not what we need. The second bullet is to create an educational funding framework to continue to increase the minimum school program above inflation and growth. You'll see that third bullet. We're asking for a 3% increase above inflation growth, which is within reach. The budget has those funds. It's not over asking or under asking. And that's going to be hard this year. I think that the relationship that public ed has with the Utah legislature is a little bit fractured right now. I think the legislature is upset about what happened with the amendments and some things there. So I am grateful that I'm able to go meet with the Speaker and the Senate President, that they're still allowing us at the table. So I'm hoping we can have some good communication there. But we need to foster unity and support within our system. I know that public ed can't meet the needs of every single student. It can't. But Utah already has hundreds and hundreds of opportunities and alternative opportunities for students that work. And most of those that are successful that I've seen in my career
have an association with the public ed system. They're still tied in one way or another. The fourth bullet, which is so important, and really there's two bullets. We're asking for an increase of 3%, and we're asking for an increase in targeted funding for at-risk students. That starts with special needs students and goes right into the different demographics of students that where there's achievement gaps. We have to provide extra supports for any student, regardless of who they are, the color of their skin. If they aren't keeping up with all of the other students, we've got to offer a hand down and a support, and that takes funding. Generally, the funding, just like in Chad's presentation, it's in personnel, having more people help those students who need more help. The economic stabilization account is the next page. You can see right there at the top of the blue. We're all super frustrated by this. We worked so hard to create this account, and it changed the Constitution several years ago on that constitutional amendment, knowing that we would then receive these funds that we could use one time. And it, to put it very bluntly, it's become a playground for legislators. It's very frustrating, and I've testified to that. I will share that with the Speaker and the Senate President on Tuesday, that those funds shouldn't be a playground for this or that next idea. Those funds should flow into the local school boards where we can utilize them to their highest benefit. Unfortunately, that whole account got eaten up this year on different projects. An example of that is the performance pay that we've talked about. You know, tens and hundreds of millions of dollars put into something like that where they could have distributed those funds one time to lift all districts, especially safety. We have so many one-time expenditure safety needs in every school district in the state. So we'll talk about that. And then another one that's super important, I'm so grateful it made it on our list this year, is Tier 2 retirement. It's the last one on the list. We're getting to where we have more employees that are on Tier 2 retirement than on Tier 1, and Tier 2 retirement is just not keeping up. It's inequitable. It's not fair. As you'll recall, those employees that are on Tier 1, I can't remember when the shift happened, probably about 2011. They only receive 1.5% for every year of service. They have to serve 35 years instead of 30. This is not a good thing. It's a significant danger to public ed. So this particular bullet isn't even talking about the big elephant in the room. It's just a small issue where employees on Tier 2 are having to pay for their own retirement right now out of their own paychecks. We've been able to resolve that in our own district, but we need a permanent fix with the legislature. So I'm hoping we can get more momentum there. I think you're all familiar with that. Any questions on those legislative priorities? Super, super important. We spend a lot of our time working with legislators and helping them understand those things, but it's super important. Our annual report is also attached. I wanted to thank Krista for all of her hard work on our annual report. There's a quote there from President Foster. Several highlights throughout the report. It's on our website. It's something that, you know, we started doing this, it seems like yesterday, but we've probably been doing it for 8 years now. Krista would know. It's a lot of work for her to pull all this information. There's assessment data highlights. There's social-emotional learning highlights. There's highlights on this annual report from our surveys where we survey students, parents, and our own staff. It's a great report that highlights all of the great work we're doing and the progress that we're making in the district. So just wanted you to be aware of that. It's on our website, published there. I reference it quite frequently when I'm working with lawmakers and other community leaders. My third item, I put this on there last year, and I thought I better put it on this year. I have been removed from a couple of committees and chairs, so the list is a little bit shorter. I'm hoping the list continues to get a little shorter. I've told the board it was kind of my time. You know, I relied heavily upon other superintendents in the state as they took leadership roles and served on committees, and it became my time to do it. And I'm hoping that some of those other younger superintendents will take their turn and work their way through the system and carry our body. Some of these committees that I'm on, and the list is big, but they'll work their way through, and I'm hoping others will step up and take those positions as time goes on. I was assigned that last one. I think I mentioned it last month or 2 months ago. I was assigned by the legislative leadership to be a member of, it's a very small study group. There's about 8 members to study trust lands. They were audited by the legislative auditors, and there's some very concerning undercurrents there. I'm hoping we can turn that around a little bit. There's some great members on our study group to maintain the trust land advocacy office and make sure the legislature understands how important that is. I think that we've said this many times when it comes to trust lands. The danger is the legislature sees that growing pot of money and they start to say, why don't we just fund education with this? We've got to continue to protect and defend it because it flows directly to the school community councils for local needs. Trust lands is the one source of funds, and Principal Beagley talked about it, that allow us to intervene and extend learning. We actually have the opportunity to target students who are struggling as well as those who are advancing who sometimes are forgotten. Extend and provide extra interventions for learning and at a very local level. Without those funds, we don't have the opportunities to innovate and to get creative with student learning. So I'm hoping we can protect it and keep it as a separate funding source as it continues to grow. Interestingly enough, trust lands, I have an interesting relationship with trust lands. CITLA was formed in 1994, my senior year of high school. The first time that funds flowed into school was 1999, my first year as a fourth grade teacher. Saline Elementary received about $6,000 as a school. Now Saline Elementary receives $80,000 as a school. We did great things with those $6,000. We're doing greater things with the $80,000. Then CITFOL was formed, it seems like in about 2015. CITFOL is the agency that manages the funds and invests the funds. Chad demonstrated what good interest can do. It's a powerful force for good when you invest funds appropriately. And then the advocacy office was formed in like 2018, 2019. And that's what's all of this is being questioned by the legislature. We just need to protect it. Discussion items, the last item I have. I always want to come back to the vision, mission, and goals. I just wanted to give an update. We're sharing, really enjoying this book, The Multiplier Effect. I'm hearing some really great stories from principals in my own life. The other day we were in chapter 3, we were talking about the difference between stress and pressure. You know, in the book they tell the story, it's the age-old story where the man has to shoot an apple. It's, I guess, based on a true story years ago where the king of this land hung up his hat on a pole and everyone had to bow to the hat. And if you didn't bow to the hat, then you were executed. And this local man who was a leader and sometimes he was someone who had a lot of courage. He was also a really good shot with a bow and arrow. He wouldn't bow to the hat. And they said, well, we're going to execute. He and his son, they wouldn't bow to the hat. And the king said, well, you're going to be executed. And then the king thought, well, I'm going to make some fun of this. If you can, everybody knows what a wonderful shot you are with a bow and arrow or a crossbow. If you can shoot that apple off your son's head, I'll let you live. And in that moment, the son was the son had stress. Because stress is something you can't control. He had no control over the situation. The dad wasn't stressed. He had pressure. He had full control over the situation on whether or not he could make the shot. Now, it wasn't comfortable, but you see the story and how it defines the difference between stress, which is something you have no control over, and pressure, which is something you can control. And he made the shot and was released. But several principals were texting me throughout the month and saying, I use that today. My daughter had a test tomorrow and she said she was stressed. And I said, no, you're not stressed. You're feeling pressure. You have control. You know, and it's helped us in our leaderships and in roles and in our lives. The other thing in the chapter I'm loving right now is it's talking about don't be a diminisher. You know, empower people. And that's a common theme in this book. But to spend more time looking for opportunities to multiply and liberate and not be a diminisher. And it gives very good examples. The quote reads, "Liberators create comfortable environments where people can freely contribute. But when more power is needed, they don't hesitate to make it clear that only the best performance is acceptable." So it talks about how liberators, we don't create stress-free or pressure-free environments. We want intense environments, but we want environments that are comfortable and safe where everyone can think out loud and participate, and everyone's strengths can be drawn upon in the system. So it's been a great opportunity. Mr. Willis is going to talk a lot about our upcoming training for principals and how we're investing in them through the Deloitte, the Courageous Principals Deloitte training in Texas. What's beautiful is, and it wasn't even designed this way, but this book goes a perfect parallel with what we're going to be learning from the Courageous Principals Conference. So it's just great. Good, really good stuff. That's all I have.
Thank you, Superintendent. Mr. Willis.
Thank you. I sent a text to Brett. He didn't get the text. Said he was free to go if he really so desired, but he stuck me up. So. I too would like to just take a moment. I don't have a lot of items, and most of them are informational, so I didn't even bring my computer up this time, which is rare. But to show my appreciation, not only for the board members, but for the people I work with here, our administrative team and the staff here at the district office. I think about that a lot, and I think about over the past several years some of the things in my life that it's one of the constants is it gets me out of bed and it gets me to work, and I rely heavily on those relationships. And so with all of you and the people throughout the district, it's been a lifesaver for me. So I just want to say we've got the best of the best, and it's a great group of people, not only here but throughout the buildings. Brett's a fine example of that as well. Just good people, more than colleagues, but really good friends and people I look up to and love and appreciate. So I do appreciate all of you so much. With that said, I'm just going to go through my informational items. Like I said, we're going to talk first up. When we come back, it always amazes me how fast these years go by, and we're already leaning against the second semester for the school year, the second half, which will kick off in January. I just want to remind you that we are not doing a Midwinter Institute this year. We opted to go every other year with that, as requested by, I think, a good portion of our teachers and principals, that they wanted that time to not only prepare for the second half of the year, but also to train. And so they have, I think I have everybody's plan for the Senate Bill 103 day. It's days that were added to the schedule for teacher preparation, teacher learning, those types of things. So when we come back, you can see up there, January 2nd will be a teacher prep day. Students don't come back until the 6th. And January 3rd, which is the second contract day, I guess you'd say, is the Senate Bill 103 day. And principals, through their direction and their wisdom and the things that they know that they need on an individual basis in their buildings, they put a plan together and train their staff on that day. And so it's been a great offset to the years we don't have the conference. They do something that really is geared towards what's needed in their individual buildings. So that will be our back-to-school kickoff for the second half of the year. I always like to update you on assessment plans, and it's crazy to think that we've already we're well past our beginning of year assessments, and we're into the middle of the year type things just around the corner. And you can kind of see up there what that entails. Some of them, for instance, our WEDA testing is for our EL students. we usually take the month of February, but the window is actually open a little bit longer than that. And for a good cause, when we have those students, it's really tough with the personnel that we have in those positions to get through the WIDA testing for those students and test every one of those individuals. Shelly Ramos does it. She does a good job, but she's one person, and that's a big job. So we've opened that window a little wider so that she can get that taken care of. And then some of the benchmarks, the mid-year interim, some of them are optional, some of them aren't. Some of the principals really opt in with the RISE to do that mid-year just to get a benchmark of where their students are and what they need to work on moving forward. And so there's a lot of the midwinter assessments that will be taking place shortly, and we're excited to see that. Superintendent and I were comparing a little bit. We deal with students that are moving in all the time, and in some of those conversations, we look back at where they're coming from. And, you know, when we get parents that say, well, they were doing so well at this district, wherever, won't use names, but, and then we do some comparison, we realize we hold a higher bar. We, in a lot of cases, we have high expectations. Our students perform well, and in a comparison, I feel like we do really well that way. And so it's nice that we put that emphasis on assessment. And it's designed not as a punishment or a way to make anybody feel bad. It's designed as something that we value in an effort to improve what we're doing, our system, and everything involved in teacher instruction and all those things that happen on a daily basis. And so whether it's formal, informal, we do a lot of assessing to determine, can we get better here? And I think it's proven when we do have those opportunities to do a little bit of a comparison that way. Moving down to item three, school-based mental health screener nights. And last board meeting, we talked about the parent nights, and I don't want to confuse the two. Parent nights, we talked about, we put together these nights. We had such a great turnout in all of our attendance areas, tenfold of what we've had in the past. And I don't know whether it's just good advertising or the drawings or what it might be, but whatever it is, we're very pleased with those people that are handling those, and getting people out in the evening is very tough, especially when it's dark at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It's tough to want to get back out, but if you might win a TV, that helps, maybe a little pizza for dinner, but they do go over a lot of great things that are happening with our mental health stuff. But the screener nights are a little different, and I want to be very clear. The screener nights, and superintendent will have to help me because I had his name, the legislator that was really pushing the
Elison.
Elison, thank you. Okay, that's what I was thinking, but I can't remember. Anyways, Elison really pushed for these, and we jumped on board. There was some money attached to it. We didn't really need the money as much as we thought, or as much as they thought we did, but because we can handle this with the people and personnel and different things that we have in place that is rare, comparably speaking, to a lot of other districts. When you start talking about our mental health therapists, you start talking about their relationship with our school counselors, and then with their administrative teams, I know Mr. Beagley can speak highly of that because he's one that sits in on these meetings and actually kind of runs a lot of these meetings when it comes to this type of stuff. He talked about Kid Talk and all these things that are taking place in our buildings to help students. But with the screener nights, if a parent is concerned, and we try and advertise this well, about a student, they could come in and there's a screener that they could be involved with that would kind of indicate or help get the right resources in place for students that might be struggling in a lot of these areas. And so it's just another thing that Sevier School District is doing to kind of address some of the needs of specific students and families and everything else that's going on. It's funny, this time of year, I know Superintendent and myself were talking about this morning when we were talking about families in need, students in need. You don't sometimes see it past your own home, but there's a lot of kids that need us in these regards. And so we're very thankful that we have these resources in place. You see the dates up there for those screener nights. Obviously, we're not going to get 200 kids at Richfield attendance area for a screener night, but if we get one and it hits home and we can get that student and that family the help they need, then it's well worth it. So we're glad to help out in that capacity as well. And go ahead.
Is like at South Superior attendance area, is it that time in each one of the schools? Do they hold it collectively? Or
no, it's collectively. School? It's similar to our parent nights. We do it all in one.
Where would they be at the high school then?
Yeah.
The high schools.
We seem to, that's the focus, is to get them there, and they know that, and it's part of that, is to get them at the high school.
It's really just another resource, another opportunity to make sure that students are their mental and emotional needs being met. And it's voluntary. I mean, there are citizens in our valley and throughout the state and the country that disagree with this, that they feel that schools shouldn't be involved in this whatsoever. Where I bought into the screening is when I realized we could do it after hours as a total voluntary effort. We're not forcing this on anyone. But it's another support and benefit to the student, and much needed, you know, much needed support. Just another safety net to ensure the students are safe.
Well, and we're not forcing anybody by any stretch, but we definitely promote it and have the opportunity available, and then everything is opt-in in a lot of the things that we do nowadays. And Chad mentioned in the budgets and whatnot that the school culture grant that Shiloh is over right now is the 5 year, and with COVID the extension, the 6 year is now coming to an end. And but all these types of things, the screeners, the parent nights, they're not affected by the money that was with the grant. Those things are separate, so those things will stick around. It's not like because the grant goes away, all these great things that we have in place goes away. It's these things hopefully will be a permanent part of our district and help students. And so this, like Kate said, that's just another resource available. So happy to offer those things. Superintendent talked quite a bit about trust lands, but I just want to remind you that in January, we have our trust lands training that we've been doing for several years now. You see there, Marcus Chen is the next victim, if you will, that will be doing that training. I say that because we started with, I mean, I think he's the fourth one, Krista, that we've had come in. At one time, we felt like we were good at, and I'm speaking as a part of a group of principals. When I was a principal, I thought we had some of the best trust land plans in the land, but we didn't know what we didn't know until we started having this training, and we've gotten much, much better at that. And the turnover at the state office is what dictates the different presenters or trainers that are coming down. And so I've been in communication with Marcus several times back and forth, and he will be here on January 8th. To work with our principals, and you see there the principals invite their community council chair or somebody, if they can't make it, somebody from their community council to attend and be a part of that conversation and that training, so that when they sit down as their community council, they have a pretty good plan in place and they know what things to look for. You know, obviously they're looking for what's the best bang for their buck. Hopefully it's not just a cut and paste, but it's a, hey, what do we need this year? What's going to help our school improve the most this year? And the training has really helped us fine-tune those. You all are involved with the later portion of that when it comes to reading through those plans and giving some advice from the board's point of view. So, like Superintendent said, there's a lot of money in trust lands right now, and it's in jeopardy, and we want to keep it where it belongs and helping our schools continue to improve and hire good personnel and use it for the right things, the highest academic need in those buildings and so forth. So we're excited for the upcoming training. We look forward to it. I know Krista and I spend a lot of time in the beyond the training, calling and talking to principals and little pieces that might be missing here and there. I give all the credit to Krista. I just have a little deeper voice when I call, and it seems to help push some things along. So, anyways, that's something to look forward to for our district, is to get those plans in place, and hopefully that money stays where it belongs and continues to benefit us for years to come. The last thing that I have is just professional learning opportunities. There are several out there, but I just want to touch on this just because it's coming up at the very end of January, is that Deloitte University, I've talked about it several times, back and forth communication. These people are, boy, they want you to check every box possible. I've got an email chain back and forth. I work with a gal named Christy. She's awesome, but they have some, just like what I was talking about with our assessment, they have high expectations as well to make sure that we are all very ready when we get there. And we've had to do a, what'd you call that, Chad, a personality test type thing?
Mm-hmm.
Chad's is a little different than mine, but as far as he's much more direct than I am, apparently. But anyways, we're excited to see what that turns out to be. We've only heard great things from people that we've inquired who have been to this training, and looking very forward to our principals getting this. And I know if funding allows, we're going to continue to go down that path for a little bit. Brett talked a little bit about some of the other trainers that we have brought in the past and some of the things that we have done with professional, like world-renowned professionals that have come to our district. But this is our opportunity to go and learn even more and improve, again, what we're doing, and hopefully become the best version of ourselves we can. So with that said, I'm done. Does anybody have any questions for me?
Thank you, Mr. Willis. Mr. Lloyd.
Yeah, I didn't put anything on the agenda today. I wasn't, like, spoke enough earlier. I will just update the board on what Brett mentioned in our construction meeting. They kind of threw me for a loop, saying that they're planning on having it done by February 1st. I was expecting to be in it when we came back on January 6th. Just sounds like materials and certain roofing materials and different issues with some of the subcontractors have pushed some delays. But Brett was been really good to be at almost every one of those construction meetings. So with Brett there, I think he felt okay with that February 1st date. So I don't think we had to get into a brawl or anything and try to push it. Sounds like if we can meet that February 1st date, which the contractor seemed pretty...
As long as it's not February 2nd.
Yeah, pretty good about, then we should be okay. So, overall, I think that project's gone really, really well, and the contractor's been great to work with. I think the site superintendent we have has been awesome. And this one did catch me for a little bit of a loop. I know I told you guys last month about the air handler possibly being a delay, but that showed up and it's being built right now. So I thought we were going to be on time, but it sounds like there's other issues. But I think Mr. Beagley's got a way to make it work, so we should be okay. That's all I have.
One comment that I failed to mention when I spoke earlier is that I felt it was very important to have teen centers in each high school. I know that window of opportunity of that funding has come and gone. However, and hoping that Cedar Ridge would actually fill that bill for those high schools, it won't. And so as you're looking at the building, different things in your capital fund or however you fund the building down the line. And I know a part of that is not only the physical building foundation of those teen centers, but it's actually staffing that. I would challenge the district to consider that, and also to consider those populations within our schools with disparities, and that those might be some of those that frequent that teen center most. And so I would just have that also as a challenge to be within the school district's funding or building as they look forward to the future.
One thing that some of our communities don't know, or community citizens don't realize, is that all of our high schools and middle schools have aspects of teen centers, as far as food, clothing. All of our high schools have locations where those things are made available. Not the same as what we do.
Not the evenings.
No, as far as what we did at Cedar Ridge High, the showers and washing dryers and those kind of things.
It's those evenings.
But we are taking care of a lot of student need as far as food and clothing. There are students that shower in our building that have been for years that we provide at our schools. Most of our schools have.
We wish more of them would shower in our schools.
Yeah, we do. When it comes to food. Yeah. But we're meeting those needs to the best of our abilities with the facilities we have. But, yeah.
It's that haven in the evening, the warmth, the computer access, the ability to not only eat, but to have somebody supporting you and somewhere to go in that evening that might be warm and be able to be clean and clean their clothes. The teen center concept, I believe, is invaluable.
Thank you. Chad, what do we need to do about our action items on our annual financial program reports?
Yeah, that was part of the consent agenda, so it's already approved. So
that's taken care of then?
Yep, no other action items that I'm aware of.
Okay, thank you. That being the case, then, do we have anything else that anybody needs to bring up at this meeting? If not, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I will second that. No, I will entertain that motion, and somebody else will second that.
Second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded.
Very good.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And our meeting is adjourned.